Support for Veterans Corner on Veterans Corner Radio is made possible by M&M Printing and the Observer News of Ruskin. Hello, and welcome to Veterans Corner Radio Podcast, information for and about veterans. For this podcast, host Bill Hodges talks with Jessica Pierce, Assistant Director of Policy Staff for the Veterans Administration Central Office. Director Pierce goes in-depth on the filing of claims and how to navigate the process. She also provides a great deal of information about differentiating between temporary and permanent disabilities. Here now is Bill Hodges with Veterans Corner Radio on Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.
Welcome to Veterans Corner, a show dedicated to providing information to all those who have served our country's military and to their families. Now, here is your host, newspaper columnist, management trainer, and Air Force veteran, Bill Hodges.
Hi, I am Bill Hodges, and this is Veterans Corner Radio. And today we're going to talk about claims, disability benefits. And we have a lady who is an expert on that, who is our subject matter expert, Jessica Pierce, Assistant Director, Policy Staff, VBACO. And what that stands for is Veterans Benefit Administration Central Office. So we have the people right here from the top, and that's great. Jessica, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You know, benefits are something that a lot of people don't realize. There's the VBA and VBH, and one handles the health side, the other handles the benefits, but there is some crossover occasionally, especially when it comes to disabilities. Who is eligible for disability benefits?
To be eligible for disability compensation benefits, which is the benefit that my office oversees, a veteran has to have service that is other than dishonorable, and they have to have a mental or physical disability that's related to their service in the military.
You know, one of the problems that a lot of my vets who come to me, they say, you know, and maybe this was because of our time period that we served. I'm well up into my senior years, and we were just told to suck it up when something went wrong. Don't go to the medics. Don't do this. Don't do that. People, when they get help to do this, they don't know how to file the claims. Is it a good thing to do to go to someone and get help?
Yes, 100%. And I'll also point out that there's no need to pay someone for assistance with an initial claim. So if you visit our website, which is www.benefits.va.gov/VSO, and that's VSO for Veterans Service Organization.
Let's give that again one more time.
www.benefits.va.gov/VSO.
It is not an easy process for someone who doesn't know what they're doing. But if you have a VSO, somebody at the county level or the DAV or the VFW, these people know what you need to send in.
Yes, exactly. Accredited representatives go through a process to be approved to provide services to veterans. They provide these services at no charge, and they're very knowledgeable about the claims process and how to help you get a positive outcome on your claim.
There are two kinds of disabilities. One is a temporary, the other is permanent. Can you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah, generally what you think of as disability compensation benefits would be the kind of permanent disability. That would be where you have a disability that's ongoing, apply to that for that benefit to the VA and are provided an evaluation. Generally, that just lasts for your lifetime. There are certain circumstances where we may have to revisit that if it improves or it's expected to improve, but generally that's permanent. There are also a couple different types of temporary benefits. Those are the convalescent benefit and the hospital benefit. So the convalescent rating or benefit is provided when a veteran has a service-connected disability that results in surgery requiring at least 1 month of convalescence, surgery with severe post-operative residuals, or a mobilization by cast without surgery of one or more major joints. In that case, if that veteran meets that criteria, they would get a temporary total or 100% disability rating. So if their regular rating, say it was for a knee condition, if the regular knee condition was evaluated at 20%, but then they required a cast for that condition, then they could get 100% during that period that they had to wear the cast or after the surgery while they convalesce.
That could mean literally thousands of dollars.
Yes, it could. In addition, there's the hospital rating. So if a veteran is hospitalized because of a service-connected disability for at least 21 days, they can get 100% evaluation during that period of hospitalization as well.
Now, how do they go about getting these temporary evaluations? Do they have to file for it? Is it automatic? What happens?
There's a couple different ways. A veteran can submit a claim. So they can come to us and say, I had this surgery or I've been hospitalized, and we will consider that. Or the Veterans Health Administration, if they're hospitalized or treated at a VA hospital, can send over a referral, a report of hospitalization to us on the benefits side, and we'll consider that and determine if the criteria are met. If the hospital sends over a hospitalization report and we look at it and we say, oh, it doesn't meet the criteria, we won't do a rating decision. But if the veteran does specifically make a claim for either the hospital or the convalescent rating, we'll do a rating decision and we'll evaluate whether or not the criteria is met.
So the best thing that can happen here is the veteran take his own life in his own hands and be sure that somebody files a claim if they're put into either one of those situations you just mentioned, correct?
Yes, 100%, just to make sure. And this is the type of benefit that some veterans may not be aware of. So yes, encourage any veteran who has a surgery, has a cast, gets on wheelchair or crutches due to a service-connected condition to let us know about that.
As many times as I've interviewed people, this is the first time anybody has ever mentioned that particular benefit to me.
Yep, it's one that, you know, maybe a lot of folks haven't heard about, and we encourage you to come in and let us know.
All right. VA.gov is a wonderful place, and we've already discussed it's good to go to someone and get some help. Is there particular places that are better than others to go looking for that help?
I mean, VA, we don't specifically endorse any particular accredited representative, but we do support the use of accredited representatives like veteran service organizations. They're all of high quality. They have to go through an accreditation process to be approved to provide that assistance. So if you're using an accredited representative, any of the representatives that are available, you can generally be assured that they're going to be providing high quality assistance because they have been vetted by VA.
I think almost every county in the United States now has actual people who are paid to do this.
Right. Counties and states. Most states also have a veteran service organization that will provide services as well.
So there's plenty of help out there.
Yes.
What should people do before they go see this representative? Is there things they should gather together and have for the representative?
Yeah, that can be helpful. So when a veteran files a claim, the application, the VA form 21-526EZ, it provides information on there about the type of evidence needed to substantiate various types of claims. So that's kind of a guide on the types of evidence that are going to need to be submitted with the claim. But I'll also point out that VA has a legal requirement to assist veterans with obtaining evidence to support their claims. So a veteran could gather their medical evidence, their DD-214, that kind of thing, and submit it with their claim. That's very helpful. But if they don't have access to those records, that's also fine. VA will assist them with gathering those records.
You know, one of the things that a lot of us who served a long time ago, and these disabilities are popping up, maybe they popped up over the years, and we just didn't realize that compensation was available or extra treatment. But it's really difficult for those who go back and say, well, you know, I was detailed to do this on this day and that thing, but there's no records of it. And I'm wondering, for instance, as a quick thing, burn pits. We're talking about burn pits today. But those burn pits have been there for years. Mm-hmm. Every military Air Force base had a place that they destroyed fuel, and people were exposed to the atmosphere while they were doing it. But there's no real record that I was detailed to do that. But I'm wondering, the VA, you might have a track on that already, correct?
We could, yeah. I mean, one thing I'll point out is that the PACT Act that was passed in August of last year did allow for presumptions of service connection for service in many countries related to exposure to burn pits and other toxins. But for locations that are outside of those presumptive locations, VA may have evidence already available in the file. You know, we will review the service records that we have. The veteran may not have the record, but we may have it. Also, if a veteran is a combat veteran, there is a legal requirement that we basically accept the veteran's lay statement or their, statement of what occurred, as long as it's consistent with the circumstances of their service. So if they're a combat veteran and they say, this thing happened while I was serving in combat, even if there's no direct evidence of it in the record, as long as it's consistent with, you know, the circumstances of their service, they say it happened when I served here. We see in the record, okay, they served there. Even though there's no direct record of that occurring, we would take the veteran's word for it, basically, if they're a combat veteran.
Yeah, you don't know which way the wind blew on a particular day in the middle of the desert.
Right, right.
So they may have been engulfed in fumes and there's really no record of it.
Right, right. So we do give that deference to the statements provided by combat veterans.
What if someone files and they're rejected? What should they do?
There's a few different options. VA has three decision review options. So there's a supplemental claim that requires submission of new and relevant evidence. There's also a higher level review, which does not require submission of additional evidence. That's a review by a higher level claims processor who reviews the whole record and determines if they can make a different decision. And then there's also appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals for a hearing. Those are the three decision review options. And more information about that can be found on va.gov.
And it would be good if someone has a rejection and they feel strongly that they were treated wrong, that it's something they should get to refile, correct?
Of course, yes. Anytime a veteran is denied and feels that they, you know, should have been granted, we would highly encourage them to file a decision review, supplemental claim, higher level review, or appeal to the Board of Veterans Appeals. Yes.
Well, the PACT Act has opened up a lot of doors that otherwise were closed to them. So if I filed 10 years ago for a particular thing, this may now have opened the door, right?
Yes, exactly. If you were previously denied for one of the conditions that now falls under the PACT Act, you're highly encouraged to submit a claim. And I'll put a little plug in there that if a veteran files by August 10th, so within 1 year after the PACT Act was signed, we may be able to go back to August 10th of 2022 to grant the benefit if we're able to grant
that it. That can mean a lot of money.
So yeah, there's a 1 year retroactive period there. So highly encourage veterans who think they may be eligible under the PACT Act to file those claims by August 10th of this year.
My guest today on my program is Jessica Pierce, Assistant Director, Policy Staff, VBACO, which stands for Veterans Benefits Administration Central Office. And there's so many more questions I want, but we're running out of time. And I've got about 3 minutes. What haven't I asked you that you think is very important that my guests tell my audience?
I would just encourage veterans to file their claims. If you feel like, oh, I'm not sure if I should or not, I'm not sure if it's severe enough, just go ahead and file. You know, we have a requirement to support veterans and to help them obtain their records. If that's what's stopping a veteran from submitting a claim, don't let that stop you. Come to us and let us make the decision on whether you're eligible.
Are there any phone lines that one could call to get initial information?
Yes. The VA benefits hotline is 1-800-827-1000. And they're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time to take calls.
Now, what can I call them on? What kind of questions might I ask them?
You can ask them if you've already submitted a claim. You could ask them for status of that claim, where it is in the process, what's next. If you're thinking about submitting a claim, you can ask them questions about what type of evidence might be needed. You can also do an intent to file. So if you're thinking about filing a claim, but you're working on gathering some evidence, a veteran can tell that to the person on the 1-800 number, and they'll document that, and that'll protect the potential effective date if they come in and actually submit that claim within a year.
Oh, really? So if yes. I'm thinking about filing a claim, I can tell them that, and that will be my filing date?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. I, again, wasn't aware of that, but I'm not a VSO, and I don't claim to be.
Yes.
But there's so much to know, and that's why I wanted to be sure you were on the same page I am, trying to fill this all out yourself, even though mm-hmm. the VA has done a great job. VA.gov have every answer to everything you'd ever want to know. But you have to be, well, a lot smarter than I am to be able to go through all of the things that are in there and find the appropriate questions to ask. And that's the most important thing. What questions should I ask? Is there any question that I should ask?
That you would ask your representative?
Yes.
Well, as you said, you know, our accredited representatives that work with VA are very experienced, know how to navigate the claims process. You know, I'm sure they could answer pretty much any question that you had about claims. And if they can't answer it, I'd refer them to the VA benefits hotline.
And certainly you can answer them.
I hope so. Yes.
I thank you so much. My guest today on the program has been Jessica Pierce, Assistant Director, Policy Staff, BBACO, which stands for Veterans Benefit Administration Central Office. Jessica, thank you so much for being on the show, and I'd love to have you back someday.
I'd be happy to. Thank you so much for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're unique, you're special, and you're great. Tell yourself so often because you are, you know. And we'll talk to you again very soon on Veterans Corner Radio.
You've been listening to Veterans Corner with your host, Air Force veteran Bill Hodges. The views expressed on this program are those of Bill and his guests and are opinions based on the best available information. In matters of law or governmental regulation, it will always be best to check with the appropriate agency. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us for the next Veterans Corner.
Before we go, here's a quick final thought. Why not take a minute to follow or mark Veterans Corner Radio podcasts as a favorite? It's easy, and you'll be among the first to be notified when new episodes of the podcast are released. And thanks for listening to Veterans Corner Radio Podcasts.